You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us, we have Margaret Gray. She is speaking to us, I think probably still at work, Margaret is, and we're going to be talking to her about this very bizarre situation in Australia, which I was laughing about, and I have been taken to task for laughing about this thing. I'm not exactly sure why. Margaret joining us from the city room over there at the Syndicator. You've been working with is it Felicity Dicklin? I forget her name.
You're talking about my editor.
Yeah.
Francesca Dicklin, yeah. It's the Dicklin Syndication. It's a consortium of a lot of writers and a lot of really great editors, Phil, and we do a bang-up job of getting out to the American people every day a good cross-section, I think, of American opinion. And to that end, we are working a little bit late this evening, but I'm very happy to be with you.
Well, thank you for joining us. I know we want to talk about this story, and it has to do with a man in Australia. He's the opposition leader in Australia, a guy by the name of Troy Buswell, who they say is a very troubled man. And let me get some background.
Could I just ask you a favor before we start? Because you said something to me off the air that I asked you, would you mind saying it on the air? And you said no. And it offended me. I found it very offensive. And I want to discuss that with you, if I could.
Well, then we're not going to get to this Buswell story, Margaret.
No, I don't want to take a lot of time doing it. I just want to... I want your audience to know what you said. And I want that... If you're proud of what you said, I want your audience to know that you said that to me, and I was very offended.
I've got no problem with you talking about it. I was issuing an opinion about Michael Moore.
Yes, but what you said was that...
Well, before you say...
No, don't interrupt me.
Before... You're going to have to explain what I meant.
Don't interrupt me. You said that Michael Moore leaves a very big carbon footprint, didn't you?
Yes, I said that because of the story today in the news that claims overweight people who consume a lot, leave a large carbon footprint.
Right, and you said that Michael Moore's carbon footprint must be enormous and has probably endangered the lives of many people in a lot of small countries. Didn't you say that?
No, I didn't. I think I said it a lot funnier.
Well, what did you say?
I said that Michael Moore's carbon footprint is so big that there are whole nations that might benefit were he to cut back on eating.
See, I find that so offensive. I think Michael Moore is a wonderful filmmaker. I think he tells an awful lot of truth, and I think you really ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I think you need a sense of humor. I mean, what's the problem here?
It is not about having a sense of humor, Phil. It is about taking to task a man who has worked his life to bring to the American people a great many truths.
I happen to disagree. I think the guy is a propagandist. I think he's just, and a propagandist is not a guy that's about truth. A propagandist is a guy about spinning information, okay?
Well, what you said about him having an enormous carbon footprint, that offends environmentalists, that offends all of us. To say that he is so large, he leaves... You know, what you're really saying is that he leaves almost behind him a large... Almost a large cloud of death, in a way, you know?
Well, I think you're being dramatic.
No, you really are. You're saying, oh, a large carbon footprint. A large carbon cloud of death. A fetid and almost a corrosive and irritating cloud of stench. That's really what you're saying.
No, you're saying... I'm not saying any of that.
No, but that is what you're saying, isn't it?
No, I didn't say anything about Michael Moore leaving an enormous cloud of stench. Although it is funny.
Yeah, every laugh that comes out of you, Phil, is another step backward for people understanding truth. They think it's funny. They think it's funny, but they'll never know the truth.
Ma'am, did I not see a story today about overweight people leaving a large carbon footprint?
Yes, you did, Phil.
All right, and is not Michael Moore a big, fat, double-chin man?
That is the most offensive series of remarks.
Is he not? Is he not a big, fat, double-chin guy? Tell me. If he isn't, tell me he isn't.
I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
All right, then I'll answer it. Yes, he is. And to that end, he leaves a large carbon footprint.
Yeah, but in your hands, Phil, large carbon footprint means a large fetid... A large fetid trailing cloud. A cloud that sort of trails behind... Behind the pants and the and the underwear. You know what I'm saying, don't you?
No, you're trying to... What you're trying to do is you're trying to equate what I said with Michael Moore leaves a big fat stink every everywhere he goes. You know what? I sort of think he does.
You're very childish. You know that, don't you? You're very childish.
All right. You know what, Margaret? I can have this conversation with you, or we can get to the story that you wanted to come on and talk about.
I want to go on the record with all of your listeners as saying I think your comments about Michael Moore are absolutely reprehensible and without any merit. But I do want to talk about Mr. Buswell, because I think he is being vilified a little bit.
All right, let me get to the story here. That Troy Buswell is the opposition leader in Australia, and he broke down in tears at a press conference, admitting that he sniffed the chair of a female Liberal Party staffer. With tears in his eyes, Mr. Buswell had to compose himself before telling the media in Mandurah that his behavior has been unacceptable, and we will listen now to his comments. This is Troy Buswell apologizing for sniffing the seat of this woman's, you know, the chair.
Look, these have been difficult issues for me to deal with, and they're very difficult issues for my family to deal with. My wife and my boys, and it's a difficult process. It's hard dealing with these matters and having to face up to your responsibilities behaviourally, publicly. It's harder to do it privately.
All right, that was Mr. Buswell, and it seems like very aberrant behavior. It seems like something that he should apologize for, and it seems to me that it's something that he perhaps should seek some sort of psychological counseling for.
Well, first of all, I want to give you kudos, Phil, for not turning that into a juvenile series of comments, because it is something that needs to be dealt with.
Not everything I'm going to say here is juvenile. In fact, I don't think Michael Moore leaving a large carbon footprint was a juvenile comment.
I thought it was, too, and that's why I am bringing up to your audience the comments that you made having to do with Michael Moore, I think, are reflective as well in this story, and that is this. This man, this Mr. Buswell, who did make this thing, which was to sniff the seat of this woman's chair. Your pot pie's ready, Frank.
What are you doing?
We're in the mobile home right now. Your pot pie is ready, Frank.
What did he say?
The pot pie is ready. The microwave just went off.
I got it.
The pot pie, the beef pot pie.
Okay.
Okay, we need to...
I understand. First of all, I want to say this. The act of a man sniffing the chair of a woman, a woman's chair that she's just been sitting in, is, yes, something that's very difficult to understand. A lot of women are offended by that. But I want to let women know that the way we react to something like this sometimes is completely out of proportion to the actual act itself. This is something, certainly, Phil, that we should look at as aberrant behavior. By the same token, we really need to get a grip as women. And here I am attacking my own gender, Phil, so please understand that I'm not all, about attacking men.
No, I understand that.
Most women don't understand that when a man does something like that, while it is something that frightens us, he means it as a compliment. He means to flatter us by that. And I really think that women have, in this century, we have become so frightened of every gesture that a man makes, no matter how well-meaning, no matter how much he wants to flatter us, no matter how much he wants to pay us a compliment. And I think we really need to step off with ourselves a little bit, as the kids would say. Yes, it's something you don't really want to do in a in a body like that, in a legislature like that, in a business situation like that. But still, Phil, women need to understand that this is a flattering thing. And women need to...
Well, look, Margaret, I don't think that you're... I don't think you're approaching this the right way.
No, I'm talking to my sisters right now. I'm talking to other women. So I'm talking to women out there. When a man, even if a man does something as seemingly offensive as that, as after you've gotten up from a chair, let's say, and you're walking someplace else, and you turn around and you notice that the man who had been sitting next to you is leaning down and sniffing the seat of your chair. Do you get angry? I suppose. Do you get offended? I suppose. Are you frightened? Yes, I'm sure that you are. But I want to introduce into the equation something else. I want women to recognize this is a compliment that he's paying you. This is something that a man is saying. He is saying, I want to bend over and I want to sniff where you were sitting. Now, I know, Phil, that...
You know, I'm going to interrupt you here, okay, even if you think that I'm being rude. That is a real leap for a lot of women to make.
And you know this how? Are you a woman? I didn't know that you've had a sex change operation. I'm sorry.
I know this because I'm a man. I know this...
You're a man, so now you know how women think.
I know this because I'm a human being with some consideration. I would never in my wildest dreams think that a woman, after getting up from a chair and I bend over and sniff the seat she was just sitting in, I would never think that she would consider that a compliment.
Well, that is where, Phil, perhaps you need a little education. And maybe you're not as aware as you think you are. And maybe you ought to listen rather than just continue to talk. Maybe I've got information that you don't have.
All right, so can I ask a question?
Yes, absolutely.
You're telling me that women would consider that a compliment.
I'm saying to you that my sisters, other women, need to understand that, yes, this is essentially a very deep and very heartfelt compliment. And I'm hoping that there is a day when we can get up from where we're sitting, turn around, and happen to notice a man with his nose, yes, on the seat that we were just sitting on, running his nose up and down the seat. Maybe he's even on his knees. And maybe he's even shoving his nose so far into that seat that his nose is flattened a little bit. And maybe, just maybe, there will be the day that we'll look at that and say, isn't he sweet? Isn't he wonderful? Instead of saying, look at that pervert. Do you see what I'm saying, Phil? Do you understand that?
No, you are painting a picture of a world I don't think that I will ever live to see.
Oh, my God. How out of it are you? Oh, I see. So what am I, painting some picture of a brave new world? Is this, what is this, Star Trek? Deep Space Nine? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? That a woman is going to turn around and see a guy who's sniffing the seat of her chair so much that it's flattening his nose, as you said it. And
well, go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and laugh, juvenile. Go ahead and laugh, little boy.
Well, it's funny to me.
No, go ahead and laugh. We're up in the treehouse now, ladies. No girls allowed. Go ahead, laugh.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, all-seeing oracle of womanhood. Yes, there will be a day...
Now he's sarcastic.
Yeah, that's right. There will be a day when a woman can turn and see a guy sniffing the seat of the chair she was just sitting in, and she'll think, isn't he sweet? That's going to happen. Yes. Thank you, Oracle of Delphi.
Yes, he's being sarcastic now.
Like, oh, look at the low opinion you have of other women that you have to tell them I'm being sarcastic, like they can't figure it out for themselves.
Don't try to undercut my standing with your female listeners. Don't try to pretend like you know them better than I do. I'm a woman. You are a man. And I know what it means to me if I were to see Frank on his knees grabbing both sides of the chair and sniffing away where I'd just been sitting.
That's love.
There, you heard him. That is love. That's deep love. Deep, deep love. That's deeper love, Phil, than any box of chocolates, any Valentine's, any...
Now I know you're kidding.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm kidding. Go ahead and, Frank, what did I just tell you? Off the air. I told Frank this off the air.
He told me, Phil, that...
Just to hold on, Frank. Frank has gender confusion.
What did you say?
Nothing.
He just told me... that he would consider it the sweetest Valentine in the world if after coming home from work he saw me sniffing the saddle that he uses for the horse. We've got a horse, Buttercup, and he rides it. And he thought it would be a sweet gesture if I was running my nose up and down the saddle.
He told you that, huh?
He just did. Yeah, I love Margaret. He's a great wife.
I do, Fonda. The gender confusion aside, you understood that?
Yes, I did understand that. And you think that's sweet?
I think that is a very sweet gesture for a man. It could be anything, Phil. Let's talk, for instance, about a gymnastics bench. Suppose...
Thank you very much. I gotta go.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, Mr. Hendry. I'm so grateful that you allowed a woman a few seconds of time on your great show.
Yeah, okay. And you're being sarcastic, ladies. You know that she's being sarcastic.
And what a low opinion you have of women that you have to tell...
You hung up on her. You know, it's going to be hell to pay. I got to deal with her now.
That's right. You can deal with her. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So just remember, guys, what a sweet gesture that would be for her to come home and see you running your nose up and down a saddle she uses.
Phil Hendry.
Tiger Woods, today, the news is that there were some 11 women that they allege Mr. Woods was involved with, and apparently this has scandalized his fans. Certainly the media would like to think so, because they have, they've been working this story. People like myself, voices such as mine, who say, okay, you know, this is really a bad thing for his family, but I watch the guy's golf. I don't know what the rest of this has got to do with it, but I understand that I'm a man who is his alone in his opinion. Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. I wanted to, I realized that we sort of hurried past the actual specifics of that story, and I'm not being gratuitous, but it's pretty bizarre. And this man was, and the way that this Australian paper reports it, I got to tell you, it's hysterically funny. I'm sorry, because I know the guy was in a great deal of, you know, pain, emotional pain, but he's like having to compose himself, get a glass of water. He said, the events of the recent days have made me take stock of myself. Well, anyway, the story started here that a female Liberal staffer, I guess this is the Liberal Party in Australia, and this guy is an opposition, he's the opposition leader, okay? So understand that this is like, it's like... Who's the opposition leader in the House of Representatives? It ain't Pelosi's the leader. She's the Speaker. So who's the guy in the House? It would be like if some guy was caught sniffing Pelosi's chair. It would be like if Harry Reid or somebody was caught sniffing her chair. I mean, that's how heavy it is. And I didn't want to have to say this, but we do now have news that Harry Reid was caught sniffing her chair, and we're going to. Right. Anyway, a female Liberal staffer says she was shocked and outraged when West Australian opposition leader Troy Buswell sniffed the chair she'd been sitting on. Mr. Buswell yesterday refused to deny allegations. He sniffed the chair of a Liberal staffer after she finished talking to a constituent in 2005. The unnamed staffer yesterday repeated comments she made to the Sunday Times that she was horrified and embarrassed over the incident and gave Mr. Buswell a dressing down. She added, I was shocked and outraged, and I told him. I was very concerned and expressed my displeasure loudly, and I believe that's where the matter should have ended. Mr. Buswell earlier this year admitted snapping the bra of a female Labor Party staffer and has been accused by retiring Liberal MP Katie Hodson-Thomas of making sexist remarks to her while asking her if he can sit on her feet. No, I'm kidding. He didn't say that part. Mr. Buswell...
Here you go, being juvenile. That's everything Mrs. Gray was saying.
Oh, well, okay. Why don't you go report it to Mrs. Gray, then, okay, and quit bugging me.
I'm good.
Mr. Buswell told reporters the allegations are part of a negative campaign against him, which he had predicted after taking over the leadership from Paul Amadoui, or some kind of weird-ass name, earlier this year. Is that it? I think that's it, yeah. So this cat's way out there. This happened back in 2005. Well, how the hell did this... Why is it making news now? I don't know. Maybe he did it again. So this poor man is taking stock, and it was very tearful. And you know, the part that does bug you, he says, well, my sons, my kids, how the hell do you explain that to your kids? You know what? Kids want to believe their parents are great. Kids want to believe their parents are the best. Kids are very forgiving. They really are. So you never want to take advantage of a kid. If you're caught doing something weird, tell your kid, you know, it's really kind of a drag, but daddy will always be here. And you don't ever want to hurt your children, because they'll still love you, even when you hurt them. They'll still love you or want to love you, even if you do terrible things to them. So that means someone else has to come and kill you. See? That's... Joining me from Charleston, West Virginia this evening. We're going to talk about this article that I read, and I know you guys brought it to my attention, that a lot of Pakistani men are getting spa treatments.
Well, Phil, that is correct, yeah. This is current. Don?
Well, just get myself another, hot apple pie. You want a hot apple pie?
Yeah, give me a hot apple pie. Yeah, Phil, we're just finishing up. We had a very late session here, and of the couple of committees that we sit on, and so we're just finishing up a meal. We have to get some pie to go.
Okay, that's great. How are you guys this evening?
We're doing good.
Give me a
Phil, thanks for having us on the program this evening. We are going to sponsor a measure in the West Virginia State Senate early next week, and we want everyone to understand that we're not advocating this for everyone, but we do feel, to some extent, that if those groups and individuals in our country and elsewhere in the world who mean us harm, and remember that the number one job of the leaders of our country is to protect us, every single answer that we can possibly bring to bear on the problem.
I'm a fire problem, a little bit licorice pie.
Yeah. Every single answer that we can bring to bear on the problem is one step closer to solving the problem. You understand?
All right. Well, the article had to do with the popularity of spa treatments for men in Pakistan.
Well, the article dealt with a middle class range of men in Pakistan, and they go for a variety of different treatments. But if we can make these available. And what our bill is going to introduce on Monday of next week, once Guy and I get out of committee with it, we are hopeful that we can start to put in place either the hot basalt stone massages, the Huna massages, these kinds of things, that we think young men who are prone to membership in terror organizations are going to be attracted to.
All right, now you understand. When I first heard this, I thought you guys were nuts.
Well, I know that a guy. What'd you say?
I told Kurt that I thought that you guys were definitely not favorable to the idea. You have to understand, we can bring a spa treatment and a spa massage on a terror table thing.
And also, Phil. This is a unique idea and a green idea in fighting terrorism. Now, I know what you're going to say. That sounds like the warblings of a terribly demented man to say that there's a green solution to terrorism. But if we can, we need to try it.
Well, I don't understand what you guys are advocating. Are you saying Huna massages and what is the other one?
It's hot basalt stone massage. The massage utilizing heat and a basalt stone.
It's called a hot basalt massage.
Are you telling me that you want guys in terrorist organizations?
No. Not members of terrorist organizations, but individuals who may be prone to membership in a terror organization.
Yeah, we understand that terrorists are too far gone. The spawners you can get them rubbed down.
The idea is if you get a normal daily regimen or or weekly regimen, or even monthly regimen, of the kind of pedicures and the Swedish facials on a hot cinnamon facial, that these young people would be prone to join terror organization might be prone instead to enhancing themselves individually and find some individual worth. Now, the idea of metrosexuality, I've heard a lot of people make that comment. I don't think there's any risk that you're going to turn your average terror or candidate for terrorism in a metrosexual, you know, guy?
Now, if you're metrosexual, a lot of people have to go gay. A lot of people have to go gay.
But I don't think that nothing's better than releasing the tension from hating the West, you know, than a stone massage.
Well, how do you know that?
Well, I think it stands to reason. We're just looking for answers.
Let me ask you guys a question before we go any further. You guys are state senators in West Virginia.
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah, 13 years, Phil.
13 years for you, Guy. How long for you, Kurt?
This will be about 15th year.
The bad seat.
Okay. What are guys in the West Virginia state legislature doing, fooling around with legislation on how to get terrorists Huna massages or getting their feet rubbed? I don't understand why you guys are messing with this.
Well, we feel that there's a need in this country to come to another state. Look at you saw the news the other day with a young man in Charlotte, North Carolina, I believe it was, Guy, right?
Oh, down in Charlotte, yeah, with a young man who was a part of the terror website. Gotta get a resolved, get it rubbed up. Gotta get it rubbed down.
This young man in Charlotte, North Carolina, who has a terrorist website, and he is advocating the death of American soldiers. This is a young man that I think can still be brought around. Because he doesn't know the healing qualities of a mineral bath. He doesn't know the healing qualities of a cinnamon rub.
And only exfoliate too. Massage through the bifoliation.
Guy's talking about the exfoliate, but also foot reflexology. He doesn't know about the curative properties of soaking in deep Calistoga mud. Now, I understand, and I'm the same way. I don't want to get into those mud baths because my first thought is, what if someone has done their business in it? Guy was talking about that, too.
Now, well, you don't want to get in a mud bath, field. You don't want to know what someone has done their business in a mud bath.
Well, you know, I've taken those mud baths. I've taken a mud bath. It depends on the place that you go to. Okay, I've been to places that are really top-notch. You know that mud bath, you sit in the mud, right? Is that what you guys are talking about?
Exactly. You sit in the mud, and it's got some very curative. And the couple places that I go to, and I know, Guy, you do, too. What, you go out west, though, right, Phil?
That's not a place out in the desert.
Yeah, there's a place I know in the desert that does mud baths. But here's the question. What are you guys telling me, man? Are you telling me that I take that guy who is the terror candidate and I stick him in a mud bath? Wait a minute. You brought up the fact that people might do their business in it?
Well, that was my fear. And if you got a young man who you are trying to lure away from a life of terrorists and you say to him, you can get out on down to Mud Hut.
You get on down to Mud Hut and get on mud. And it might freak out about people doing their business.
I don't want to say that they're any more frightened of someone doing their business in a mud bath than anybody else. But you only get one shot of these young people. You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
All right. No, I don't understand what you're saying. The whole thing sounds kooky, as you guys knew that it would. And you still haven't answered my...
Why does it sound kooky? When you say kooky, you're being crazy. And why does that sound crazy? If we can stop one young man from entering a world of a terrorist.
But by sticking him in a mud bath, by taking him out to some expensive spa and giving him a Swedish massage and a cinnamon facial, these are things that I would think anybody who is attracted to the world of the terrorist, the macho man, the fighter, is not going to like.
We mentioned that foot reflex on it. A lot of these people live in mud huts to begin with.
Yeah, that's the truth, Phil. They all live on a dirt floor, sleep on a dirt floor, and they get them all banged.
So if you can stick them in a vat of mud, and even if someone did do their business in it, but you don't tell them, if you can...
Oh, yeah, that's right, man. Don't tell them. You know what?
Well, Phil, the answers will come to us on Monday when we submit a bill. This will be State Bill 21, which will make certain spawn facilities available to young men of Middle Eastern descent if they come from terror-sponsoring countries. And we are going to disseminate information. You've got the brochures, too, don't you, guy?
This is a brochure of a place called the Little Mud Flat, and this is in the northern part of the state. Any young man come from any terror-sponsoring country, whether it's Syria, Iran, North Korea, any other, between the age of 1933 and 1933. And
between the ages of what?
1933.
He said from between the ages of 19 and 33.
Okay.
And here on a student visa. And you're going down to get on the mud flat. Get yourself on there.
And those young men are at risk. So even if someone has been in the mud bath and they went ahead and let one go in there, and that's not hygienic, that's true.
Well, you don't always mention that. You always bring that up. Why are you mentioning that?
Well, but Phil asked the question. I think the problem is so acute.
You guys are going to introduce this bill to the West Virginia legislature.
Yes, we are. Next Monday morning at 10 o'clock, as soon as we put the finishing touches on it.
You really think it's good?
I think they're going to laugh you out of there.
I think you're wrong. We should be sent a massage therapist, facialist, acupuncturist, and these people could do our diplomatic work for us. We really believe in this, and I'll tell you why. When Guy and I first visited this mud flat, we were doing some research and had the mud bath. We had aromatherapy. We got into our robes and sat in front of a crackling fire. And Guy started to rub my feet. I know it sounds as if there's a homosexual story that's about to develop, but no, there is not. We're both married men.
We're both married men. We become a better friend.
We became better friends, much closer. As we sat in front of a crackling fire with robes on and a aromatherapy that was wafting through the lodge, and Guy just said to me, you know what? What'd you say to me, Guy?
I said, hell, you want? I'm going to give you a foot rub.
He said, hell, I'm going to give you a foot rub. And I said, go for it. And we've been very close ever since, but not in a homosexual sense.
So because you guys went up to the old mud flat, some spa, and you put on your robes and sat in front of a crackling fire.
Right in front of a crackling fire, we also had the delicious dinner. Do you remember there was a walnut meatloaf? It wasn't real meat. It was made out of walnut. And Guy and myself, we had a side-by-side couple massage. We're not a couple, you know, but it was cheaper to get it that way.
Yeah, we got a lot cheaper. And we're not homosexuals, that would be. But we are a very, very good friend now.
Well, you guys were always good friends.
Yeah, but we're very tight now. We'd rather go to spas together than with our wives. Not because there's any homosexuality, but because we just enjoy each other's company. Can you imagine two young men who are about to lead a life in a terrorist organization, if we can get them in a side-by-side massage, possibly one of these facials you can get.
You better watch how you say facial. You're saying that a lot.
I don't mean anything like that, Phil. You know I don't mean anything sexual.
No, I know you don't mean anything sexual, but everything you're saying, man, is not going to be attractive to a kid that wants to be a terrorist.
Why do you say that?
You guys are sitting here telling me, yeah, we went up to the spa and we put on our robes and sat in front of a fire and Guy rubbed my feet.
But see, you're reading homosexuality into that.
Yeah, the same mistake everybody makes.
Everyone makes that mistake. Now, when we introduced...
What do you mean, everyone?
Well, when we first, in committee, we introduced this bill, and at that time we revealed to everyone the research that we'd done up at the old butt flat, where this is a converted... Hillbilly hound. You know?
Converted hillbilly hound.
What's a converted hillbilly hound?
It's like a hillbilly house, only they call them hounds here.
Yeah, they call them hound.
So it was an old hillbilly house that they converted into a spa?
Well, they did some improvements and add-ons. Actually, the only part of the spa that's the hillbilly house is the bathroom. But the rest of it...
Okay. Gentlemen, good luck.
No, but Phil, on Monday we are very serious.
Phil, you got to understand. Don't blow us off here like that. You think we're a couple of queers. We are not queer. I can tell you that right now.
No, Phil, we are not queer. Please don't think that.
No, I don't think that. And I, you guys, although show a little bit of a homophobic streak by using that word.
What, queer?
Are you saying queer?
What, are you guys just like saying that or something?
I'm wondering what you're saying to me.
You call me queer?
No, I'm not. I'm saying...
Why you laugh?
I'm laughing because of the way you guys say that word.
How are we saying it?
Queer.
Well, that's my West Virginia accent, I guess.
Yeah, well, okay. Hold up, pound hound.
And Senator Barton, I don't understand. But the point being that if you guys think you're going to go to a bunch of kids who are ready to be Al-Qaeda and say, hey, instead of doing that, why don't you come on up to the spa, and by the end of the weekend, you'll be sitting in front of a fire in your robes rubbing each other's feet. They ain't going to go for it.
No, because you're attaching queer to it. It ain't queer.
Not queer. Yeah, it's very straight. But I don't get anything.
And it offers a potential terrorist an eyebrow waxing and a Huna massage. Tell me he won't appreciate your gesture of goodwill. Guy and myself, I told you we had the side-by-side.
Out of side-by-side.
You know, the more you guys talk about side-by-sides and facials and rubbing each other's feet, the more frightened I get.
Well, you're not a terrorist. You're not one of them packies.
No, you ain't packy. You're a thug.
Good luck, man. I got to wait till see how this comes out.
Well, you can read it in the roll call of Charleston Roll Calls, what the magazine is that puts out all of West Virginia vote. Charleston Roll Call.
Charleston Roll Call is bad.
But you got to get it in West Virginia. You're in there, right?
No, I'm in California.
All right. We'll mail it to you.
Mail on it.
I'll read about it in the paper. Thanks, guys. There you go. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Guy Barton, Kurt Queedy, state senators from West Virginia. How do we solve the terrorist problem? Get them all into spas. Get them all into robes. Have them rub each other's feet. Give them eyebrow waxings. Give them mineral baths. Give them Huna massages. Next thing you know, they'll be good friends. They won't be queer. They'll just be tight friends. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
We're out.
Phil Henry.
Dootin' dootin' to do. What?
I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
Guys are talking about rubbing each other.
Oh, get out of here, man. They're a couple of nuts from West Virginia. What do you care?
They're all over there talking eyebrow wax. Bugs me badly. I don't have nothing to do with them and anything they do.
I love you.
Don't. Look at, man, I didn't mean to play that.
You're scaring me, too.
They're a couple of wackos, man. Those guys, don't worry about it. Ain't you ever been to a spa?
Yeah, I went one time with my girlfriend.
Every guy goes to a spa with his girlfriend. How many guys actually go by themselves? None, except for me. Actually, there's a place I know in the desert. I go out there, but I don't, if I'm not with the wife or the woman, you know, I don't go down and get spa treatments. I don't know how to do it. I mean, I do know how to do it, but I'm not going to, I don't want to do that. I sit there on my ass by the pool, man. You know, that's what I do, right? There's a play. I really like the desert. And one of the things about me is I dig the desert in the summertime. Many people hate the desert this summer, and with good reason. It's 180,000 degrees out there. Doesn't bother me at all. Not only that, but you get the good rates. You go in, so there's this one spa I know that I go out there in the summertime when it's just blistering hot, like 120. And there's nobody in the joint, right? And you got the run of the place, and you get the good room, and the rates are down, and you can sit in the pool all day. But I ain't going to go and get the Swedish facial, if you'll pardon the expression. No way, no way, no way.
I love you.
Not this boy. Because you're laying there, you're getting the massage, and next thing you hear,
Hillary Clinton
is a closet homosexual.
And you go, well, really, I didn't know that. Here's a $20 tip anyway for the information. You're welcome. So that's my thing. Now, I don't know how we got on the subject of driving by car. Oh, I know what it was. We were talking about West Virginia, where Guy and Kurt are from. We were just talking about, have you been to West Virginia? Have you been to any, you know, outside of your own state? One of the great things to do is drive America by car. And I've been through South Carolina a couple times. I even had my car break down in South Carolina, which I wouldn't recommend, not because it's a bad place to have your car break down. But it's, you know, I mean, the towns are small other than the larger ones. And I was in this town called Manning, South Carolina. And I'll never forget, man, I couldn't, you know, I had to get my car fixed. I finally found a mechanic, and his sister ran the diner, and her brother ran the motel. So it was this. Anyway, South Carolina, just to give you an idea of what they're up to these days, they want to put a cross, or you can order a cross for your car plates. South Carolina drivers will be the first in the nation to be offered license plates that carry the phrase, "I believe," and a Christian cross over a stained glass window. Critics have threatened to fight the law in court. Well, no kidding, man. Any guy that passed a law like this knows it's a walking lawsuit waiting to happen. Americans United for the Separation of Church and State Executive Director Barry Lynn expects a lawsuit over this. He better have a southern accent.
I think the state of South Carolina has virtually put up a giant red flag with the word "sue us" on it. And this is something that's being contemplated right now as we speak.
The bill authorizing the plate passed the State House and the Senate unanimously, and it became the law without the signature of Governor Mark Sanford, a Republican, under the South Carolina Constitution. So in South Carolina, if the legislature passes it, it becomes law. The governor don't need to sign it. Mr. Sanford wrote on Thursday in a letter to Glenn McConnell, President Pro Tem of the Senate, "While I do in fact believe, it is my personal view that the largest proclamation of one's faith ought to be in how one lives one's life, not in the license plate you stick on the back of your car." And Mr. McConnell wrote back,
"I love you."
And so they're good friends.
Phil Hendry.